This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the Buick Enclave, the finest luxury crossover ever. Visit buick.gm.ca to see that where there's passion, there's beauty.
I'm Pedro Mendez, and this is Editor's Choice. Tracy Lindberg is a law school graduate, and her degree is an achievement for herself and her community. Plus, she is the first Canadian Aboriginal woman to receive a PhD in law from a Canadian university. Armed with her degree, she's ready to start teaching at Ottawa U next term. Tracy Lindberg talked to Ontario Morning host Kathleen Petty.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How'd you celebrate?
I traveled here with three grandmothers, my sister and my husband. So we went to the Sweetgrass Cafe and had traditional foods for the evening.
Oh, that's wonderful. It really means something to be able to celebrate with family, I bet. Hey?
It was lovely. And the beauty of the day, I think, was summed up because I hadn't told my family that I had won the Governor General's gold medal. So they actually learned of it while I was crossing the stage. And the response from the audience that you referred to was lovely and important. I think it signaled that all Canadians have a vested interest in the success of Aboriginal people within Canada, but also that there's a force within all of us as we sit in the audience and we watch anybody who walks across to acknowledge that we shouldn't be talking about first anythings at this point.
I know. You know, it's funny you should say that because it occurred to me as I was going through the introduction to you. It seems to me we're long past the time where these things should be noticed in the sense that it shouldn't be unusual. Mm-hmm. It should be just the way it is.
And I think that part of that is we have to acknowledge and respect the people who opted not to go to university and who opted to retain and study their traditional teachings with regard to Indigenous law, mm-hmm. because they don't get a ceremony like that. They don't have applause like that, and they made difficult choices. And as I understand it, the intellectual process to become a traditional Indigenous law scholar is as rigorous, if not more so, than anything that you would face as a PhD scholar.
Tell people where you're from, your background.
Sure. I'm originally from northern Alberta. One of my grandfathers is from Sturgeon Lake First Nation, and the other is from a Métis community outside of Grand Prairie, Alberta. So I was born in Grand Prairie. My mother and father moved us through northern Alberta and northern Saskatchewan, ending up in Nipawin, Saskatchewan for a long period before I eventually decided to go to the University of Saskatchewan to go to school.
And why law?
There's a couple of things. I think that there are certain people who are just born to argue, who are argumentative and mistrustful by nature, and we end up being lawyers, so I always knew that I was going to be. But one of my grandfathers was a native court worker in Alberta, and I knew from his experience and his understanding and the lessons that were brought back to the family that was something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of it had to do with wanting to understand this concept, this English concept or Canadian concept of justice, because it didn't make sense and it wasn't something that I could easily interpret. And I knew I was going to have to put my head around that for a very long time.
Does it make sense now?
No. But I understand that Canadian law and Canadian notions of justice are really about a foreign language for many Indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And that we need to be able to understand the language to be able to effectively interpret the impact that Canadian law, Canadian justice has on us. But that we don't have to internalize that. We still can value the laws that come from the places where we come from. We can still celebrate those teachings that we're brought up with and become, I suppose, translators in a way where we can translate systems back and forth.
And do you hope to bring that into the classroom as well?
I hope
so. That extra dimension that you're talking about that speaks to your background and culture and share that with others so that they understand it too?
I had the beautiful gift and the beautiful obligation of being able to work with the late Dr. Harold Cardinal and Elder Maria Campbell along the way. And part of what I came to understand from them and part of what my dissertation is about is that we have reciprocal obligations as Canadians, as Indigenous peoples, as women and as men, and as students and teachers. We have obligations to each other that require that we teach each other meaningful ways to discuss law. Within the classroom, my hope is that we're at the next level of discussion where we're not talking about first necessarily, although we have to acknowledge that.
It's important to do that because it highlights that it's rare and reinforces the fact that it shouldn't be.
That's true. And if there's one thing that I've learned from that, it's if you recognize and acknowledge that one person who did it, as I've had several one persons throughout my life who have paved that bush road, I suppose, if you can acknowledge them, that's important. But I think we are also at the point where we have to start talking about Indigenous law as normative in the place that we come from, the place that is home. And we have to be able to look at Canadian law as visitors and teach Indigenous law to Canadians as normative for us. I think that that reciprocal obligation and that reciprocity between our laws is really an important thing to get across in the classroom.
You were at Harvard for a bit during this, and I have to imagine that might have been, I mean, it's sort of daunting. It's prestigious, obviously, but it must have been kind of lonely, too.
I think that most definitely it was lonely, but I was also raised by a family that taught me that everything was possible. And so I didn't know there was an impossibility about applying. I didn't know there was an impossibility about success there. And I was naive enough to believe that the place was going to be filled with people like me. I thought there'd be Indigenous students from all over the world who came together and happily changed the world through the prosperity that Harvard offered us. But
yeah.
I only found one other Indigenous person there from the Uyghur Nation in Australia, and I was able to cling to her like a life preserver as she did to I.
I bet. But you know what? That's a gift, you know, for your parents to instill in you the belief that nothing's impossible. That's a real gift.
I think that my parents are the perfect storm, metaphysically. Actually, stormy together as well. I had a father who's non-Indigenous from the Swedish tradition, and he was an absolute egalitarian and understood parity, fairness, equality, and taught that to me and was an avid reader. So he brought that love of learning to me. And my mother, brought up in the Cree traditions and raised with a Cree and a Métis father, was able to translate to me what fairness and equality meant from a Cree perspective. And I had a lot of balance wherever I went because they armed me with really strong tools.
Yeah. Boy, it's hard to beat that, I'll tell you. That's better than any formal education that you get from your parents. But congratulations on just a wonderful achievement for you, and I wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you so much.
That was Tracy Lindbergh in conversation with Ottawa Morning host Kathleen Petty. For Editor's Choice, I'm Pedro Mendez. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.